So true. How do you know when you have been loved on? Isn't it when you've experienced someone doing something for you for your benefit that you know you've been loved on? You know, when I was a teenager playing junior footy for Minleton Colts, my parents always made sure my brother and I had the gear we needed and would get to the game on time. Even though I always felt we were going to be late, we always got there on time. And my dad even joined the kind of support team that helped support our team and made sure we had all we needed and things worked on game day. As I look back on my life at home, I knew I was loved by what my parents did for my benefit. And then just the other yesterday, we saw some pictures come to us from our daughter over in New Zealand of her and our little grandson at the start line of the Hawke's Bay Marathon where Michael, our son-in-law, was running. And a little video of Blake in mum's arms, our little grandson, saying, "Go, Daddy," as he ran past at the beginning of the finishing line. Love turns up. Love turns up in those moments of human hurt, but also in those moments of human hopes to celebrate with the other. Love is seen when one human being meets the need of another human being. In other words, love is practical. And like Conan said, one of our four hope values is practical service, because that is the outworking of love. You know, love ultimately is not actually a feeling or a thought or an ideal. Love is what you do. It's actionable, it's tangible, experiential. It's something you can feel and experience, something you can see, and you can actually measure its impact. Love is realistic in that it is doable. It's not kind of otherworldly, but it's something we can actually put ourselves to in this world in our everyday lives. It involves our head as we think through the when and the how and the why and the what. It involves our heart being stirred, even burdened sometimes by human hurt or hope. It involves using your time, getting your diary out, planning so that you've got time to do what you've committed yourself to do. It means getting your hands dirty. Now, there is a soft side to love. You know, there are warm, fuzzy feelings associated with love. We can feel kind of safe and secure and loved when other people are doing things for us. But on the other side, love is robust. Love is bold. Love is strong. It's earthy, because it's lived out in the hurly-burly of everyday life in the face of human hurts and hopes. Love requires thought and effort, application, courage at times, and perseverance. So let's read again those wonderful verses of Paul as he talks about this love, this divine love that we're called to live out. From 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. What do you notice when you read those words, listen to those words? And it was kind of exemplified really well in that little video that we started with before I got up to speak. Love is described here and lived out in the context of human interactions and in the face of human needs. Love persists, stands by someone who is going to take months, years to work through their grief of a significant loss. Love listens for the umpteenth time as they go over what they've been experiencing. Love goes out of its way to show or deliver some acts of kindness to someone else who's been beat up by life or beaten down by others who hasn't experienced kindness. And so you make sure they experience some kindness in their life from you. Love is seen in the young mum-to-be who has a younger sister, and this young mum-to-be has become pregnant the same time as her sister, but this older one has always had the limelight over her sister, but when the news comes, she stays silent and allows her younger sister to have the attention first as she announces her pregnancy. Love speaks up for another when they don't have a voice and honours them and values them and speaks the truth on their behalf when they aren't able to. You see, love at its core is meeting a human need. John, as he wrote about living out this love in his first letter in chapter 3, verse 16 to 18, he says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us." Jesus met the greatest human need. He did something about it. He gave his life as an atoning sacrifice for us so that we could all be reconciled with God and our debt paid. And he goes on and says, "And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions, for example," John says, "and sees someone in need but has no pity on them, does nothing about it, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech. Let's not talk about it as some ideal, but with actions and in truth. Let us love in practice." Think about Jesus, what you know of him. Jesus, who said we are to love others as he has loved us. When he healed someone, he was meeting their need for health and wholeness. But beyond that, in their society of in that day, it also meant he was meeting a need for them to be able to be included back into family and society and become productive, and if they were a man particularly, to actually earn an income and support their family who was reliant on him. When he miraculously fed over 5,000 people, and he did that twice, he was meeting an immediate human need for food because the crowd was hungry. When he taught the crowds, often described as sheep without a shepherd, people who had lost their way, he was meeting their need for good instruction and wisdom, for understanding of who God was and how God wanted them to live and how God actually loved them. When he said to some people sometimes, he said, "Your faith has made you well," who was meeting their need of affirmation, that their faith was valid, because every other people had said, "Well, you're a nobody, your faith is meaningless." When he told the rich young man who was seeking to live out a godly life, "Go and sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me," he was meeting that young man's need to be set free from the bondage of possessions. You see, love is everyday people meeting the needs of other everyday people. There's a church in Los Angeles called the Dream Center, and they, because of their, where they're located, but also their heart, they do a lot amongst disadvantaged people. And their church vision statement is simply this: see a need and meet it. And Kynan was reminding me between services, our principal from our theological college, who's now retired, he put it this way: to see a need is to hear a call, to hear a call from Jesus to love another. I'm going to invite Katrina Manuel up now. So let's welcome Katrina. Katrina is part of our women's ministry team, and they are seeking to do something practically to love others through a thing called Handbags of Hope. So, Katrina, tell us about what's Handbags of Hope, and let me hold that handbag for you.
You are welcome to delve through it.
Doesn't it suit me? Thank you, Katrina.
So Handbags of Hope is an initiative of our women's ministry group. We're very, very excited about it. We are asking people to purchase a handbag, such as the one here, which is from Kmart, $20, if you can see the price tag there. And we're going to fill those handbags full of gifts. Scott's going to show us a few of those gifts as I'm speaking. So those gifts are going to be purchased and put into the...
I've got two gifts there.
Put into the bag there, and then these bags are going to be collected up by Hands of Hope, which is a local organisation, charity organisation, and also Baptist Care. And they're going to be distributed before Christmas to the ladies of Adelaide that are experiencing homelessness and domestic violence.
It's a USB if you can't see.
USB, that's correct.
So lots of goodies in there and more. It's the first time I've been allowed to poke around a lady's handbag.
Freely.
So what are the human... needs that you're seeking to meet by this ministry?
Yeah, I love that question. We are seeking to meet the need of love and of hope. So we have a real vision that these ladies have come from rejection and pain and hurt. So these ladies often have left their homes with nothing, often with their children. And the kids tend to get everything. Mums are the last people on the list to get things in this situation. So what we've decided is we would, as a lot of us are mums, we would love to bless some of these ladies and give them something that they just haven't had before, and that's a handbag full to the brim of gifts and things that they wouldn't normally buy for themselves. The other thing that we're going to put in there is really important, and it's a little note. You can choose to write it on a card, you can choose to write a letter, and just to put that note in there and just say, we love you, we think of you, we've been blessed and we in turn are blessing you. And just to give them that little bit of love and a little bit of hope this Christmas. I know Christmas is a long time away, but this is why we want to do it now, because we want you to spend this year putting a handbag together, or two or three or four. Let's not get lazy with this. Let's get into it and get excited about it.
And so around in November, we're going to gather them together on a Sunday morning. We're going to have Hands of Hope and Baptist Care come.
Correct.
And we're going to hand them over to them, and they'll distribute them.
Yep.
So how can people get involved?
Okay. It's super simple, and we're so excited because it is so simple. It requires individuals, friendship groups, family groups, community groups. I've got people at my work doing a couple of handbags. Tell people about it. Get excited about it. Pick up one of these little brochures. It's got a sticker on the front, which you can put on the front of your little tub that you're going to collect your items in. Also has a list of really good suggestions of things that you can put in your bag. Now, spread the word. Grab an extra one of those for people at work. Grab them for your friends, your family. Now, what you just have to do is go into Kmart or somewhere and purchase a bag. They're quite cheap for these larger bags. As you do your shopping, go to Coles, pick up a hand cream, pick up a lip balm. Scott showed you some things in there. Go to Officeworks, get a cheap diary. They do want USBs. As we said, there's a list of everything up there, just suggestions. So it's quite easy to get involved, Scott.
And, I mean, guys can get involved.
Absolutely.
And if they don't kind of know, well, what should I buy? Then your wives or your mums or your girlfriends.
And we're happy. We've had a couple of cash donations, Scott. Mm. So if you are a male and you go, I don't quite know how to give, that's okay. We'll do the shopping for you. Happy to do that. Always happy to shop.
Yeah, and if you weren't sure how to kind of connect with us from maybe further afield, you could email us at hello@Hope Valley and we can connect you with Katrina about how you might get involved in that way as well.
Absolutely, and I'll be out in the foyer after this service, as will Nancy. So if anyone's got any questions, let us know. And for those online, the Women's Ministry Facebook page has the list, and pop any questions on there, and also the website under the Women's Ministry tab.
All right, thank you very much, Katrina. Let's thank Katrina.
Oh, yes.
Yep, go on.
Sorry. Kynan's just reminded me, when we initially discussed how many handbags do we want to make up, and we thought we could say 20 or 30. We're aiming for 100. 100. So we don't want, on that last day when we bring them all in, we don't want just a little pile. We want to fill up the stage, and we don't want Kynan to be able to step up here because there's too many handbags. But we do want 100. So, as I said, distribute these around, grab extras and hand them out to everybody. So let's hit 100, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you, Katrina, and well done to our women's ministry. And just to members of my community group that are here, just remind me when we meet in a couple of weeks' time to talk about how, as a group, we might get involved in that as well. So you can be my secretary on that. You know, when you think about Jesus and how he loved others, he was exceptional at loving others. But Jesus calls us and wants us to be just as exceptional at loving others as he is. He said, love others as I have loved you. But, you know, how can we do that? How can we love like Jesus loved, the perfect one? Well, the thing is, when you put your faith in Jesus, one of the things he does is that he gives you the gift of his Holy Spirit. And one of the things the Holy Spirit does as he lives in us is that he gifts us with the tools to love others. We call them spiritual gifts. He takes a little bit of the skill set of Jesus and places it in each one of us. Now, none of us can love in all the ways that Jesus loves in the way he did, but when you put us all together as the body of Christ and live that out, we are like Jesus together. That passage in 1 Corinthians 13 that we read earlier is actually in the middle of two other chapters that Paul wrote, 12 and 14. And that's those two chapters are about spiritual gifts, these tools for love. And so that chapter on love is in the middle, and it's about saying, well, this is how you use those tools that the Holy Spirit gives you. And so Paul wrote at the beginning of chapter 12, now about the gifts of the Spirit, sisters and brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. This is important stuff. You've got to get your head and your heart around this, and you've got to lay hold of this and start living it out. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. The Holy Spirit chooses which gifts we get. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord who is served. There are different kinds of workings, of ministry, of practical acts of love, but all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work through us, through those gifts that he gives us to use. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, to practically love another. What does a sick person need? To be healed. And so Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, gifts some with gifts of healing. And we would add in our modern day, besides those spiritual gifts, skill in medical ways. What does an ignorant or naive person need? Teaching and wisdom. And so Jesus gifts some as teachers and trainers. What does a group of people need who lack direction and organisation? Well, they need leadership and administration. And so the Holy Spirit distributes gifts of leadership and administration and management. What do people need when they need a word from God in that moment? They need to hear kind of God's insight, a word in season. And so God gives some with the gift of prophecy and others with words of wisdom to share. You see, spiritual gifts are simply this, the tools of the trade of love. Peter, when he wrote to the young church in chapter 4 of his first letter, he says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to love one another. Which begs the question, do you know your spiritual gift or gifts that the Holy Spirit has given you? Do you know how to use it? It's important that you do. If you are to love people the way Jesus has loved you, if you are to become exceptional in loving others, then you need to know what your gift or gifts are and to practice using them to meet human needs. Now, if you're not sure of your spiritual gifts, there are ways you can find out. And one way that is easy to do, that can be, it's one of many things, but that can help you get on the way, is to do the SHAPE test. It's free. It's online. It's been developed by a great church in America called Saddleback. And you see the details on the screen. You can take a picture now. You can find it, and you'll see a website like that. It helps you understand how God has shaped you and gifted you to love others in those unique ways. I encourage you to do it. It doesn't take long. It's really simple, and as I said, it's free. And they give you the feedback and you can work your way through it. Jesus wants you to be exceptional and consistent in loving others. As Paul said in that chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, love never fails. It perseveres. It keeps going. But when you think about that, if you're like me, I know I have my limits. I know it's true to say Mary sometimes hasn't been well loved by me because I got tired and grumpy. We need help. And so one of the things that the Holy Spirit does beyond gifting us to love with spiritual gifts is he empowers us to love. And so Paul, when he wrote to his young protege, Timothy, a young pastor leading a church, he wrote these words of encouragement. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you, when I prayed for you. So there's that reminder. Remember that gift the Spirit gave you. Use it to love the church. And then he goes on and says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, a kind of a fear that sits back and waits, a fear that says, well, until I'm sure or you know, everything's perfect, I won't step out. No, the Holy Spirit gives us a spirit of power, love and self-discipline, of power and love and the ability to choose, I'm going to act in love to meet a human need. You see, love and power always go together with Jesus. It's not like they're two different things. They're one in the same in Jesus. Jesus is always willing and he is always able. And likewise for us, we need to be always willing and always able. Meeting human needs is divine work even for us. And so we need this divine power that the Holy Spirit gives us, to be able to go beyond what is possible in our own strength, to find ourselves meeting human needs we would never have thought we would be meeting if left to our own devices. Jesus said, you're going to do the things I've done and even greater things than these. And the reason he knew he could say that and that it would happen is because of this gift of the Holy Spirit, of those spiritual gifts and of the power to love that he brings. Jesus is always calling us to meet human needs in practical ways, whether it's those kind of everyday things that we find in the routine of our life and family life and work life, or those particular things that he calls us to because of how he's shaped us and gifted us. And so again, an obvious question is, what human need is Jesus calling you to meet? Or another way of asking the question is like this, what human hurt or hope has Jesus placed in your heart to make a difference for in the world? Jesus is always calling us to meet a human need. We need to keep our eyes and ears open to what he's saying. Now, I have one that I just want to kind of elevate today, and that is the human need for community, to belong. As a pastor, I'd say Christian community, New Testament community. And one of the ways that we organise ourselves to do that at Hope Valley Church, both kind of near but also off-site, is through community groups, small groups of people that gather together to live out this Christian community, to love and care for one another and grow together around God's word. And so I want to just put it out there. Is God calling you to host a community group in your house, wherever you might live, whether you live near the Hope Valley site or you're part of kind of this connection with us, even though you live remotely, even interstate or overseas? There's a human need that you can help meet by hosting a group of people in your home. And you might say, well, I'd love to do it, but I don't know how to do it. Then we have the resources to help you online. You can connect with us and we can help and coach you through that. You can talk to me personally via hello@hopevalleychurch.com.au if you want to let us know. I want to have a go at this. I'd love to talk to you further about it. And as I said, we have all the resources that can help you do that. Now, while we don't meet human needs to get recompense or payment back because we're meeting that need, and we say, well, now I've helped you, you have to help me. Throughout the scriptures, there are promises like this. This is what Jesus said. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. I just love that imagery of kind of, you know, sitting there and just, you know, presence being poured till you're kind of, you know, your head's just poking up above what Jesus pours out. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. We don't need to receive from those who we love upon, because Jesus has promised to love back upon us, to replenish our resources, to fill our love tank when it runs dry. And so we have this freedom to keep meeting needs in practical ways. Now, as always, the first step is to let Jesus love you. Because you can't love another in practical ways like Jesus unless you are experiencing yourself His love for you. And in that, receiving this gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and those gifts that the Spirit gives. And so I want us to just pause and pray now. And in this moment, whether you're on site or you're listening in now or later on during the week, take a moment and let Jesus love you in this moment. It might be just through a sense of His presence and the warmth of His embrace. It may be through a word, that small, still voice, a word of affirmation or forgiveness or calling. Just allow Jesus to love you. And in this moment also, open your heart and speak out this prayer, Lord, fill me with Your Holy Spirit and His power and His love. And release in me the gifts of the Holy Spirit You want me to use, because He will, because that's always been His plan. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, in this moment. Pour out the love of Jesus into our hearts. Release Your power that takes us beyond ourselves to love. Release in each one those gifts that You have predetermined for them to have and use. That bit of the toolbox of Jesus, Lord, put in their hands. Speak that word of love from Jesus to them in this moment. And as you open yourself to receiving those spiritual gifts, remember, they're not for you just to hold, but they're for you to use. And you may not know, be kind of skilled in using them to begin with, but it's in the using that you learn to be skillful. They're not a trophy to hold on to, but a tool to use. It may even be that in this moment, the Holy Spirit is speaking about a human need for you to meet, or is placing a burden on your heart for a human hurt or a human hope in the world. Maybe reminding you of something that you once carried with some passion, but you have put aside or closed off. And the Spirit is saying, take hold of it again and run with it with my help. We're just going to move from this prayer time kind of seamlessly into our next song. And there's in this next song, there are some words that go something like this. I'm running to your arms because your love will always be enough. You know, letting God love you and seeking to grow in our love for God should always be our first action, because as we run into his arms, as we seek to express our love to him and allow him to love us, a miraculous thing happens. We become more loving towards others, not the other way around. It's not selfish to want to know more of God. It's actually the first step to becoming all that God wants you to be. So let's stand and sing this song together.